Ladies and gentlemen, step right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! We're on a roll of honey!
This is Christopher Hart. Thanks for tuning in to the American Adversaries Second Helping Podcast, where we give you a taste of our previous week's American Adversaries radio show, which you can listen to live on our station's website, theanswerorlando.com, or either live or from the archive from our website, American Adversaries, or our Rumble channel, American Adversaries. On Trump and Tuesday, the chairman of the Lake County GOP and congressional candidate Anthony Sabatini joined Randy Ross, Mike McBath, and me to discuss the Florida State GOP's efforts to change the primary rules in order to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. Anthony, how are you doing tonight?
Never been better out here in the villages at the Cash Patel event, talking about some of the work he's done. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Cash Patel is out there?
Yeah, speaking of villagers for Trump, his book just came out, Government Gangsters. Looks like a pretty interesting read. The FBI sued him over disclosing, you know, some of the facts that are in it. You know, he worked for Devin Nunes. He was one of the people that kind of uncovered a lot of the corruption in the FBI during so-called Russiagate. And they fought him on the publishing of this book, but he eventually won, and now it's published.
So do me a favor. Get his contact info. We'd love to have him on the show. Listen, tell me about this meeting that's going to be happening next. I understand it's a state Republican Party meeting next week. In particular, I'm wondering about this. Supposedly, they're going to try to have a loyalty pledge that the candidates have to take to get on the Republican primary ballot, trying to keep Trump off. Any truth to that rumor, and what else is going to be going on?
Well, you know, it's interesting. They tried to sneak it through the executive board. They held a vote on it a couple months ago. Most people didn't even know about it because they've structured the Republican Party of Florida in such a way where it's this top-down system, and a lot of important changes like that don't even get voted on by the normal membership. For example, I'm the chairman of Lake County's Republican Party, so I'm the standard, you know, member, one of the 250 members of the party, and that wasn't even something that I was even allowed to vote on much less even know about. They've sort of done it, did it secretly. Well, it blew up, got in the news cycle. People were outraged because what it was obviously doing is it was not really about loyalty. Obviously, you know, nobody's more loyal to the Republican Party than Donald Trump. He was the president of the United States. But it was really about targeting him. We think it was some of the people associated with some of the other campaigns pushing this just to sort of mess with him and just create, you know, more commotion and just target him like we've seen endlessly with Donald Trump and his whole, you know, political life. So they tried to change the language, and so now they have to vote on it again. So like I said, they actually passed it at one of the committees last quarter, and now it's being redone. But we haven't seen the language. So there's all these rumors about what it looks like, what's in there. I mean, is it saying that it's going to disqualify Donald Trump from coming to the debates or even being on the ballot in Florida if he doesn't, you know, sign some kind of crazy, strongly worded so-called loyalty oath, just to designed just to embarrass him or whatever. But we don't really know. It's all being done murkily. Now, the truth of the matter is there's been a lot of members of the party who said they've gotten phone calls from Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez, the Speaker of the House, Paul Renner, and other people essentially urging them and lobbying them and whipping them into supporting it. But we have not seen where they are on the issues yet. And so, you know, we don't even know what the language looks like. Obviously, I'm going to be completely against it once it gets released, but we don't know what they're doing with it yet.
Could that be considered campaign activity by the Lieutenant Governor?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is campaign activity.
Well, isn't that illegal?
No, of course not. Anybody who's in office can advocate for whoever they want. Yeah, if you're in office and you want to go out and endorse Donald Trump like I did, you know, when I was a state rep, that's totally fine. Is it the right thing to do in the state party? No. I mean, it's obviously trying to work the system against the front runner of the party and the candidate they don't like, but it's actually legal under the law.
So, Anthony, I was talking with someone today, and I want to ask you, certainly you're at a level of higher fundraising that you're trying to do in your campaign. Somebody was suggesting that by having Ron DeSantis be so keyed in on Florida, as well as Trump living in Florida and fundraising in Florida, it's making it difficult for Republican candidates to siphon money. That's the wrong word. It sounds like I'm a negative, but it's not. To get money from Republicans because they're being tapped out at a top level. Are you experiencing that at all in what you guys do, not just at a party level, but of course in your campaign, or is that just hyperbole?
No, I think that's true. You know, there are unique fundraisers. DeSantis basically fundraises only from the extremely wealthy folks, and Trump, of course, is much more of a grassroots, small-dollar fundraiser. But at the end of the day, you're right, candidates running for different offices at different levels still run into the fact that oftentimes you'll talk to somebody who's passionate about politics, but they'll say, sorry, I'm tapped out. I've given several thousand dollars this cycle, and, you know, it's all been to presidential candidates, and I just don't have any more time or energy or money to give to anybody else. And that's kind of sad because, obviously, we really need the Republican base to support financially candidates up and down the ballot. And so, yeah, I do see that.
How can people help you?
They can fundraise. They can donate for me to me at any time at 17forcongress.com. But, you know, we got to get everybody elected. So help Randy get elected to the city council. Lord knows that he's sorely needed. And send me to Washington so we have somebody who's actually going to join the Freedom Caucus and shake it up and change things. I mean, for goodness sake, we've seen this Congress essentially waste the first almost full year of their so-called time in power. I mean, they only have 2 years in the majority in terms of the term that they earned, and we haven't really seen them do anything to change Washington. It's kind of sad. You got Kevin McCarthy-style Republicans who think that sitting around and tweeting is enough to stop the Democrats, and we know that's not true.
What do you think about that? I mean, is that really where we are? I mean, it's difficult for me to watch sometimes because I feel like we almost operate with blinders on. Go ahead.
The real problem we have is that the base still doesn't know. The voters, you know, the average voter doesn't know that the Republicans have options to exercise power. They actually don't, right? So, like, McCarthy and these guys will say, well, we don't have the White House, we don't have the Senate, so there's not much we can do. That's a lie. The state house literally, I mean, the lower house, the Congress, makes the budget. It funds everything. It can also defund anything. It could literally eliminate the positions of the corrupt people in the government. I mean, they could shut down both of the federal indictment prosecutions of Donald Trump tomorrow in budget season going into October. They're not doing it. Now, of course, like I said at the beginning, the voters don't know that that's how much power the House has. McCarthy doesn't want to use that power because he doesn't want a real fight. He doesn't want any real contingency. He just wants the status quo in Washington. He is part of the swamp. So he's happy with the voters not knowing that that's the level of power that the Republicans have in the House but are unwilling to use. If more people knew that, then I think you'd see more pressure on the Congress to act and to do more. But right now you're not seeing it. People are sort of confused, like, well, you know, we got the House, but I guess there's nothing we can do, and it's just not true. I mean, they didn't have to vote yes on the debt ceiling. They don't have to vote on this budget omnibus before October 1st, which is what they're trying to do. McCarthy now is trying to do a three-month stopover bill where we fund the government through December, and that's not right either. We should be right now cutting weaponized government, shutting down and cutting corrupt agencies in the government and wasteful spending. We're not even seeing that being talked about. It's just sort of brainless, but that's what's happening.
Especially when now they say that the deficit is going to be $1 trillion larger than they thought it was going to be. Duh.
Yeah,
well, listen, Anthony, thanks, and I want to stay in touch with you about this meeting and these machinations as they try to change rules here in the state of Florida.
And, yeah, please do, and thank you for your interest with that. I hope to see you at the quarterly. But, yeah, as soon as we get the word on what they're trying to do, what committees it's going to, and who's got the ability to vote on it, we need to get it out to the voters, to your audience, so that way we can speak up on it. But right now they're hiding in the shadows.
All right. We appreciate
thanks,
your
Anthony.
Efforts. That's for sure. All right. Have a good time tonight with the Cash Patel thing. I look forward to seeing that book. Yeah. All right.
On Wednesday, founder of the Timothy Plan, Art Alley, joined Nostradamus, Mike McBath, and me to discuss why he started a biblically-based investment firm and co-founded a Liberty Church in Central Florida.
All right, I got Mike McBath and myself, Christopher Hart, in the Relax and Comfort studio. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. Real quickly, that event I was just describing to honor Medal of Honor recipients right here in Orlando, October the 6th and the 7th at the Hyatt down there in Lake Buena Vista. You can get your tickets at heroesheart.org. Heroesheart.org. Okay, that brings us to our guest today. Got a chance to meet him at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention here a little bit, what was it, last spring, summer, beginning of summer?
That's right.
And he is the founder and CEO of the leading biblically-based investment firm here in the United States. He's also the founder of Liberty Church, which is celebrating its fifth anniversary, five-year anniversary this weekend. So I'd like to welcome back to the show Art Alley. Art, how are you doing this evening?
My goodness, Chris, you got all that. Where'd you get all that from about the five-year anniversary? That's good.
Well, we got our sources.
I guess you do.
We got our sources. But, you know, you got your sources, too. First of all, if you would, please describe again the Timothy Plan and why you started it.
Well, sure. Well, why I started it is the Lord has a 2x4 with my name on it, and it hurts. You know, I was having a nice financial planning practice, but it really hit me between the eyes that, you know what, here I am helping my Bible-believing Christian clients, which was the majority of my client base, invest their money, and we did a pretty good job of it, but I became increasingly aware of the fact that here we are owning shares of companies that are violating everything I was battling against, from abortion to pornography to non-traditional married lifestyles. You know, all of that, I had never paid attention to it. But when it hit me, I said, you know what? We have to stop this. I searched the entire industry for somebody who was screening this out because I didn't want to do it. And there was nobody, Chris. So went home, talked to my wife, and said, what do you think? And that's where I learned the real definition of research and development. It means all out go and no income. It took 2 years to put this together. But, you know, we're serious about it. It's what we were called to do. And it gives people an opportunity to come out from among them and be separate, as the scriptures say. You know, why would anybody want to own shares of companies that are trying to destroy us through their corporate practices?
And that's become even more. That's become even more of an issue, of course, with the ESG and all of that. And by the way, you have a proven track record because you started Timothy Plan, I believe, over 25 years ago. Did I get that right?
Pretty close. We're going on 30.
Okay, there you go.
We're going on 30. And you know, when I started, my friends on Wall Street said, "Allie, you are nuts." And, of course, my wife had said that from time to time as well. But I said, "What do you mean I'm nuts?" They said, "You cannot create a mutual fund program, an investment platform that screens out the largest, most profitable companies in the industry and expect to get good investment returns." Well, in 30 years, my answer has not changed. If, and that's the biggest word in the English language, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, obedience trumps performance every single time. And all we've done over these 30 years is prove they were wrong, because we get very competitive performance returns, and we do it without compromising our biblical values. And that's, in a nutshell, the story of Timothy Plan.
And as I just mentioned, you know, this ESG investing and DEI and stuff.
Yeah.
You in your own way, you saw that coming because you were already against these types of investments.
Well, we did. And, you know, there are funds out there. I mean, we crossed $2 billion, which sounds really nice until you look at somebody like BlackRock. $10 trillion, and they are pursuing a very unholy agenda. They're the ones that are actually forcing this ESG stuff down the throats of corporate America. They own so many shares of these major corporation stock that they have influence in the boardroom. And they're the ones promoting this, and it's backfiring on them. I mean, people are finally waking up to what this ESG, you know, these people are so good at using words that sound so good. But if you dig down and find out what the real meaning is, they really are not good. ESG, environmental, social, governance. What's wrong with that? Until you discover they're promoting a very Marxist agenda, they are crippling corporate America. And they're doing it because they are actually, maybe I'm going off the trail here, but they're in bed with China, because China, their corporations are not subject to this ESG scoring mechanism. And when you follow that, it absolutely negatively impacts your bottom line. And what we're seeing is a great wake up of people. And, you know, now Larry Fink, the head of this, who is not a good guy, has publicly said he's backing away from it. Well, if you believe that, man, I've got a bridge I can sell you in London if you want to. But he will do it with different terms. But they've got an agenda. And it's always about the money, Chris.
Yep.
And we have not learned that lesson. But what we have accomplished is we've taken $2 billion away from the world and shown the world that you don't have to compromise your values in your investment program.
Art, do you help these people also make charitable contributions through their IRAs where they can pay pre-tax?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've got the whole array. We're just a full mutual fund family. We've got 12 funds and 7 exchange-traded funds, and we encourage that. But Timothy understands. They understand. When I used to travel the country and do biblically stewardship seminars, I would start out by asking financial advisors. That's who I trained out there. Whose money is it? And every one of them, because they were Christian, Bible-believing financial advisors, would say God's money. And then, you know, I'd start by being very unpopular because I said, you're all lying about it. I mean, I know you're sincere when you're saying that, but the way you use it is not conducive to living out the fact that it's God's money. So Timothy understands whose money it is, and we actually support about 40 different ministries in a big way. We're not, you know, it's not our money, and we can do a lot of good with it. We do a lot of good with it. And our biggest, and you didn't ask, but if I could get a word in here, our biggest support goes to what we call pastor boot camps. We are finding pastors who get it. They are ill-equipped to deal, you know, they're not the career boys who aren't going to offend anybody. They're going to preach God's word. But they're ill-equipped to deal with this culture biblically. So we sponsor at nice resorts. I mean, we've done a couple here in Orlando, which is where we are, as well as you guys, at Gaylord Palms. 100 to 150 pastors and their wives for 3 days and three nights. And we underwrite that cost. And the reason we underwrite, I hadn't found anybody else to help share it, but it's so important to do this because all of the problems we're facing in America, and I think you all would agree with this, lie at the doorstep of the church.
Yep.
The church used to be the guardian of the culture. Now the church has absorbed the culture, you know, trying to grow and fill pews and build bigger buildings, but they're not equipping their people on how to deal with this evil tide that has overtaken America. So the pastor boot camps are really incredible. We've done 14, 15 now. We just did one at Liberty University last week and trained over 1,500 pastors who are now part of the modern-day Black Robe Regiment and are going to stand strong. They're going to equip their people with biblical principles so they can withstand the slings and arrows that keep coming at us. I'm sorry, I get to preaching here, but that's what, you know, that's the best investment we can make.
Art Nostradamus here, just joined the show. I've heard about the Timothy Plan. And I know there's tens of thousands of people who may be listening to today's show. They've got a 401k, whether it's directed by their workplace or not. They have inheritance money, let's say in a bank or a credit union. What is the first step? How do you redirect it purposefully towards things that line up with your faith? What's the process like?
Call us or look on the website. I mean, in most cases now, you're able to transfer that or realign how it's invested. And if you call Timothy Plan and our number is 1-800-TIM-PLAN, you're going to have a human being answer the phone, believe it or not. And they're going to connect you with another human being that can walk you through and answer all of your questions. We don't give investment advice. We are the investment product. But we are there to serve and educate people. And it is not as difficult as most people think. It just takes a phone call. And we've got a myriad of tools available. In other words, the average person listening to this call would have probably no idea of where their investment dollars are invested. You know, they may have gotten really ticked off, as we all have, at Target and stopped shopping at Target because of their, I mean, my gosh, they went over the edge.
Oh, yeah, with the clothes and things.
And it's hurting them. But if they look at their investments, they probably own Target shares. So we have a tool called the Evaluator that can tell anybody, if they let us know, you know, generally most funds or most money's in mutual funds, tell us the name of the fund and we can tell you how much money that fund has invested in companies that fail the abortion screen or the pornography screen or all the others that we do. So we're there to help. We're there to educate. And it's time that we learned what the other side learned a long time ago.
Yeah.
They have learned to weaponize money
Yep.
And if we would just simply follow our faith, we're not going to be out there with guns and ammo and all that, but we can redirect the money God's entrusted to us in a way that would honor and not dishonor him. And that's what we bring to the table, guys.
We're speaking with Art Alley, founder of the Timothy Plan, and the website is timothyplan.com, timothyplan.com, and the phone number 800-TIM, excuse me, Tim Plan, T-I-M-P-L-A-N, just looking for the numbers.
Yeah.
The pastor's boot camps that you're having, you know, pastors, actually, there was a big Supreme Court decision earlier this year that took many of the shackles off of pastors. It had to do with something called a Lemon Test, which limited what, you know, they could do in terms of in the public sphere, you know, the line between church and state. I take it that is part of the boot camps, is that you're assuring these pastors that the shackles they may have thought were there before are gone now?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of pastors kind of like those shackles because they could hide behind them, but not the guys that come to the boot camps. They were really concerned. And, you know, part of it, Paul Blair is the quarterback of this thing. He used to actually play for the championship Chicago Bears back in the day in the NFL, but he's been a pastor for 22 years. He puts together an all-star team for these 3 days and three nights. We just fund it. I attend, and I'm just blown away every time.
Yeah, Pastor Blair.
But guys like Matt Staver are part of the curriculum, and he makes that clear. We really do. But the key to the start of these boot camps is one simple statement that Paul Blair gets up there, and he challenges these pastors, who have been pastors for years and years, and it's simply this. And it's a good one to challenge all of us with, including the audience. And it's simply this. What part, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, what part of your life is Jesus not the Lord over?
Pastor Blair has a show on our sister station, The Word, 990 AM, and
yes.
He's a great, great preacher.
Art, I have to take a break, but if you'll stay with me, I have a few more questions for you.
Oh, sure.
Art Alley. Okay, Art Alley is our guest. TimothyPlan.com. Check it out. If you got a 401k, call these people and talk to them about it. 800-TIM-PLAN. Easy to remember. 800-TIM-PLAN or 1-800-TIM-PLAN if you're using a landline. 800-TIM-PLAN and TimothyPlan.com. And it's ESG-free investing, ladies and gentlemen. Biblically-based investing, the best kind. We'll be right back.
AM 950 and FM 94.9, The Answer.
Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Do you suffer with low energy, difficulty sleeping, digestive issues, frequent illnesses, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Heiss Health Clinic is for you. Hi, this is Renee Humphreys. At Heiss Health Clinic, we use holistic methods to balance your body so it can help heal itself. Call Heiss Health Clinic at 407-677-1660 or go online to drheiss.com so we can help you experience outrageous health.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're like me, you're probably spending more time in your vehicles, so it's more important than ever that we can rely on them. That's why if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry and Janice Shepherd, because you can rely on Jerry's MB to keep your Mercedes in tip-top shape without leaving your budget out of shape. With their state-of-the-art facilities, factory-trained techs, decades of experience, and reasonable prices, Jerry's MB is your dealership alternative. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. Give them a call at 407-366-6499 or visit them at jerrysnb.com. Remember, they're your dealership alternative. jerrysnb.com, 407-366-6499. Folks, did you know Relax and Comfort is the only store in Florida where you can experience both the number one rated number bed and the J.D. Power number one rated mattress in America and compare them side by side? And now for a limited time, Relax and Comfort has a very special offer for American Adversaries listeners only. Get a free X2 Model X chair, just like the one I use every day, with a qualifying purchase of any new luxury massage chair or smart sleep system. Call Don, Jackie, or Gio at 407-628-5657 or visit Relax
and Comfort at the Winter Park Village, just across from the Regal Cinemas. You can rely on Relax and Comfort for all your back care and sleep needs to sit, sleep, and feel better every day. Relax and Comfort is locally and family owned and operated since 1967. So call today at 407-628-5657 or visit relaxandcomfort.com.
Friends, Lair Adams of the American Adversaries here to remind you to call Cafe Positano's right now and ask about today's chef specials. You know they make the best pizza, strombolis, and calzones, but call ahead, the menu changes. Maybe tonight they'll have chicken with mostardella sauce, salmon in a mango citrus glaze, flounder with mushrooms and spinach in a wine reduction, or Parmesan-crusted T-bone steak. Got you drooling yet? Google it now and dine in, pick up, or have delivered Central Florida's most authentic Italian food, Cafe Positano's.
Hi, I'm John Siebert, president of Patriot Home Funding, Central Florida's best mortgage broker, and we are making mortgages great again by offering the lowest rates and best service, all while not charging any lender junk fees or points on most of our products. And if you are a veteran, we will pay for your appraisal as a way of saying thanks for your service. Take the Patriot Home Funding Challenge. We'll give you five-star luxury service and save you money. Give us a call at 407-389-5132. That's 407-389-5132. Or visit us at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker business in the state of Florida, NMLS 171699, and is an equal housing lender. John Siebert is a licensed mortgage originator in the state of Florida, NMLS 305711.
The Street Corn Takeover is back at Tijuana Flats with bigger flavors, bolder recipes, and a brand new chili garlic marinated steak that'll blow your mind. For a limited time, try five delicious new menu items loaded with zesty street corn, like the chili garlic steak and tater tot burrito, or the chili lime seasoned chicken and street corn tacos. Come try the five new street corn favorites during the Street Corn Takeover at Tijuana Flats, starting at $9.99. Order on the app or at TijuanaFlats.com.
Right outside of this one church town, there's a gold dirt road to a whole lot of nothing. Got a deed to the land, but it ain't my ground. This is God's country.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen, the American Adversaries Radio Show. Our guest is Art Alley. He is the founder and CEO of Timothy Plan. The Timothy Plan is biblically based investing. You can go to timothyplan.com, or better yet, give him a call at 800-TIM-PLAN. Even locally, you can call 800-TIM-PLAN or 1-800-TIM-PLAN if it's a landline. Art, what's the biggest mistake people make when it comes to investing? Is it just kind of turn it over to somebody else and then just forget about it? Or is there something else that they're doing wrong?
Oh, man, we could spend an hour on that. But, yeah, that is, you should never not pay attention to what's going on. And people do that. They turn it over to financial advisors, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they need to be engaged, and they need to know. But the biggest problem, I've been doing this for 45 years now. The biggest problem people have is watching the market day by day. And that creates the two worst emotions you can have when investing, and that's fear and greed. And as a result of that, the average person does not do really well in the market because they get scared if it's going down. You know, if you own good, profitable companies, it makes no difference what the daily fluctuation of the price is. You're going to do well. But that would be the fear and greed factor and short-term time horizons and getting scared and pulling out at the wrong time and then watching it go back up and then getting greedy and jumping in near the top somewhere. The only advice I know really works, and I know there are people that try to convince that they are market timing gurus, but what really works over the fullness of time is diversification and patience. Just leave it alone. Make sure it's well managed by good. And by the way, Timothy Plan does not manage the money. We do the research on the companies we refuse to own. But every one of our funds is managed by a top-tier money management firm that is best of class. I mean, they're doing a great job and working around these companies that they may own for their other clients, but not for us.
Are these both closed?
But, you know, if there's some pastors listening, when you mentioned the sister station and all WTLN, they do, Salem does their annual pastor appreciation lunch. This is coming in October, and Paul Blair is going to be the featured speaker at this year's luncheon.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
So, you know.
Well, speaking of him, obviously you got your hands full with the Timothy Plan. Why did you start Liberty Church?
Well, it was out of frustration, to be honest with you. It is hard to find a real solid church in today's culture. There are some, but we had a hard time following them. And it took me, Paul Blair and I are best friends. And he is pastoring a church that's running two services and well over 1,000 members in Oklahoma City or Edmond, Oklahoma. It took me 7 years to convince Paul, because his passion is to make a difference while he's still here. And that's why he runs these pastor boot camps. 7 years to convince him more people live on the I-4 corridor than the whole state of Oklahoma. Come down and help me. And he agreed to do that finally. And that was 5 years ago.
Wow.
And wouldn't you know, his first Sunday in the pulpit, he had a kind of a sore throat, and he got diagnosed with throat cancer, which is where Satan's going to attack a pastor. You know, they got to preach. And he spent 1 year in getting that all cleared up. And we just had to kind of release him back to Oklahoma for a while. So he's up there. We're down here. But we started Liberty Church. And the real mission was, we're only here for a short time. And, you know, anybody can make money, but precious few can make a difference. And I had a real burden for what happens to our young people, because well-meaning parents will take them to church, take them to Sunday school. They'll hear all the good Sunday school stories and all of that, and nothing wrong with that, except the problem comes when they leave the nest and go to college.
Yep.
And get these liberal professors, and these kids are not equipped to deal with that, and they end up going off the rails.
Yep.
We wanted to give them a rock-solid foundation. Paul Blair is one of the top 10 preachers in America,
and
it's rock-solid. He's as humble as can be for who he is. He's got a national reputation, but we wanted to equip them and their parents.
All right. Well, listen,
biblical foundation. Yep. Where whatever comes at you, you're able to handle.
Right.
And that was the real mission of Liberty Church.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, if a pastor, and I just have 30 seconds left, if a pastor wants to be part of one of these boot camps, how do they do that? Can they go to Timothy Plan or call the 800 number to put that in the works?
They can call us and we'll put them in touch, but just go to libertypastors.com.
Libertypastors.com.
It has them all there. We have one coming up in Michigan, another one coming up in Pennsylvania, and that'll finish this year out.
Okay, Liberty Pastors.
So we're all over the country with them.
Well, Art, thanks so very much. We'll do this again in the near future. You have a great afternoon.
We'll appreciate it. We'll do it, man, and keep up the good.
Thank you for your time.
Also on Wednesday, I described what happened in the first hearing concerning the charges brought by Fulton County DA Fannie Willis against Donald Trump and 18 others. It involved a motion by two of the defendants to separate their trials from the rest.
So the Atlanta sideshow started in earnest today. I know we saw, you know, the papers being carried by the clerk to the judge and all that. Well, today we got the first actual hearing. It was broadcast on CNN and some of the other networks, but not on Fox. They did show a 30-second blurb of it so you could see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I must admit that CNN was much more thorough coverage, obviously much more slanted as well, but even they had to admit some things that were obviously true. So let me just kind of summarize it. You had the attorneys for Ken Chesborough, or some people call him Cheeseborough. It's C-H-E-S-B-O-R-O. And Sidney Powell, each of their attorneys, one each, were addressing the court, and you had prosecutors. I think it was a team of like three prosecutors. And they sit right next to one another at the same table, basically. And in the back of the courtroom, which you cannot see, the perspective you had was from behind the table where the lawyers were sitting and off to one side. So you could see the backs of their heads, basically. And you could clearly see the judge and as he presided over it. You could also see in some of the shots the court clerk who was or stenographer, or whatever they call them. And so as it went, the lawyers for Sidney Powell and Chesborough were arguing for what's called severance. In other words, they want their cases to be heard alone, not together with the two of them, and not with all the other defendants, all the other 17, including President Trump, which is what the prosecution wants. They want to do one trial, big old charade trial, right? And part of it is because they don't want to show their hand if they go to trial with Chesborough and or Sidney Powell first. They're going to show a lot of their case, their playbook, as it were, to the other defendants. And so that's what the arguments were about today. Should they be allowed to have their trials separated from the others, and why? And so that's what the arguments were about, and that's what you were watching if you watched it on TV. And basically, at the end of the day, the judge decided that Sidney's and Chesborough's, they will be tried together, and maybe, or maybe not, with all the others. That they will argue about next week. So stay tuned. We're going to be seeing a lot of this sort of thing where it's live, but what you're watching is legalese arguments.
How long were they in the courtroom for this?
I don't know. I caught about 45 minutes of it.
I mean, I would just wonder, did it go 2 hours, and you know, about why they probably couldn't get to the next stage, you know, whether it's
no,
one
no,
or
this
two.
This is the way it's going to work.
I guess they want to keep the show rolling.
And this was one point for two defendants.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And they didn't even answer. They didn't even come to a resolution.
Well, partly they did. But the wheels of justice turn very slowly. And the judge himself pointed out that everything that they do still is subject to something that's going on in a whole different courtroom, which it may affect them. And that has to do with Mark Meadows, a whole other defendant, trying to get what they're calling removal. Yes. Okay. So you have severance, where the two defendants
right,
are trying to sever their case from the others. And then you have removal. And removal is Meadows wants his case to be moved from the state court to the federal court. Okay? Now, that's being handled by a federal judge or a whole other judge.
Are these the same two issues for both parties?
No.
Right.
Once again.
Now, Meadows is saying that because of his role at the time.
Of chief of staff.
Federal. He was in D.C. working for the president.
Well, and more than that is that he was a federal employee.
Right.
And as such should be tried in federal court.
Okay.
Now, Phony Fanny is saying, no, you were acting as a campaign manager, not as his chief of staff, and he was saying, no, it's all basically the same thing at that point, especially when we're arguing about the integrity of an election, not making a campaign speech type thing. So that is being argued in a whole nother court. And as the judge today pointed out, whoever loses that decision is going to appeal it. And that's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. And that could take very well months, if not a year or more.
That could take till after next election day.
Absolutely. And what he pointed out to the prosecutors was, we could actually go all the way through the case, have the jury come to a verdict, but I will not be able to render it pending that court case.
Oh boy, this is going to be a circus and a
exactly.
Half. What a circus.
That's why I say this is all just a bunch of nonsense made for TV BS. and it's going to be, you know, it's now part of your fall and spring lineup of TV right. programming. And it's going to be a regular thing on probably a weekly basis because, as he pointed out, this is just the beginning of all kinds of motions that are going to be made yeah. in this case. All kinds of them. So what he decided today was Chesbrough and Sidney Powell will be tried together. Now they'll figure out if they're going to be tried first or with all the others. So now next week they're going to argue over should they be tried by themselves in October or should they be tried with all the others whenever. And the prosecution said they estimate the case will take 4 months to try. That's after the jury is selected. And they were prepared to call 150 witnesses. Now, the judge himself said he didn't think he could see this happening in less than 8 months because, of course, the defense is going to want to present their case.
Of course.
And as one of the analysts on CNN pointed out, a guy who is from Georgia and knows the Georgia mm-hmm. legal system, he says, by the way, we're choosing there's a RICO case going on in Georgia right now that choosing the jury alone, and they're not done yet, has so far taken 8 months. Now, can you imagine trying to choose a jury for this case? I mean, this is all just preposterous. But the left is going to push forward with this. Meanwhile, later on this afternoon, after that hearing was over, the Department of Justice of the White House announced, White announces that Hunter Biden will be charged again on the drug crime.
Right.
And that will happen by the 29th of this month, which restarts that case. And that's
expect Trump to yes. have another problem coming yes. up very soon along with the Hunter Biden news,
in fact,
right?
Here we go. This morning began to break that deranged Jack Smith is intending to charge Trump with more charges having to do with the Washington, D.C. case. And meanwhile, phony Fannie Willis says that she may pursue charges against Trump for his use of his mugshot. That he has violated copyright laws.
Like I said.
That's going to ruin our contest.
and you know.
We might be co-defendants.
And you know, my thought when it came out was that somebody in Fulton County would say, that's not your property. Your own mugshot is not your property,
that's
so
what
you
she's
can't
saying.
Bruise it.
That's what she's saying.
And there you go.
That's what she's saying. But of course, once she put it out in the public domain,
yeah.
basically anybody can use
it. It's a news
but
item.
Once again, this is how preposterous it is. Meanwhile, she herself participated in laundering campaign money to hide it from the Federal Election Commission.
So what's happening on that issue?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. What's wrong with me?
Yeah. What is wrong with you? Don't you know? Yeah. She's a Democrat. She's against Trump. So she's going to be absolved of anything she does wrong as long as she's going after Donald Trump.
Because it's the greater good.
Yeah.
Will every aspect of the trial be on TV or will just certain highlights?
The Georgia one,
every aspect,
until they realize nobody's watching.
That's what I'm getting at. I think there's going to be a point where you go, boring.
Now, I would imagine that C-SPAN is or Court TV or somebody's going to cover it wall to wall. But how long CNN
that's what
will
I wanted
do that,
to know. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay? And so the judge said that he doesn't see, you know, that if it's going to be all of them together, how that can happen in October.
Oh, it's impossible.
No,
you know that.
Right.
It's impossible.
So I won't go into the specifics of the details of the attorney's arguments, but just suffice it to say they all had pretty good arguments. This is what law is all about, is each side gets their say, presents their arguments, and then somebody decides the outcome. So we'll just have to see how it goes from here. But it just gets more preposterous the deeper we get into this sort of thing. So this is the nature of being a banana republic. But at least these things are now being argued out in court.
Right.
And it's going to, you know, force the truth toward the front of these things.
Will we get a ratings on the day and next
I don't know.
Week?
Do they have daytime ratings?
They do, but it's so not minor. As popular, and it's harder to dig up those numbers.
Yeah. I just wondered.
I'll sure do my best.
Yeah, because it's really lousy.
That's usually a day delayed. The Wednesday numbers wouldn't come out until Friday morning. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, it's the first one, but, you know, it's pretty mundane stuff. As most of this is going to be. Once again, mm-hmm. the real fun stuff is the trial itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so far away. Mm-hmm. And you can see, you know, this is just two of the defendants.
Right.
Well, actually three when you include Meadows and his mm-hmm. whole other court case, which this case is subject to. As the judge today said, they could go through the whole case, do everything, and it not mean a doggone thing if all of it gets turned over to the federal court. So, in a way, they would be better to just wait on the federal court, but they're going to go forward with this anyway, pending that federal court decision. And once again, whoever loses that is going to appeal it, and that's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. And there will be other decisions likely that will do so as well, and especially in those federal cases where the deranged Jack Smith, it's going to be the same thing. You're gonna, except it won't be in, you know, in front of the TV cameras, right. But it'll be the same type of thing. All these minutiae type legal arguments, which are all very important, by the way, and which all have to be resolved before a case can go forward. And that court can draw this thing out for years and years.
So who pays for this? The city of Atlanta, or who is paying?
Well, the taxpayers.
Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
Of course.
I mean, this is going to be a humongous bill,
well,
and you can thank those people, and they should be run out of office once this thing blows apart.
They should be run out of office in town.
And, of course, what they're trying to do is bankrupt Trump or these other defendants.
Well, they're going to find themselves on the wrong side
of
it.
Causing them to have, you know, exorbitant legal fees as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's for law students, it's a dream, right? But for the rest of us, it's a head-scratcher. So it is what it is, however, and as I said, stay tuned because it will continue next Thursday morning, evidently, was what they decided on today.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it took them about 15 minutes just to decide when they were going to meet again.
Now,
can you imagine that with 19 defendants and they're all,
it would be
all
mass
of them
confusion.
With separate legal teams?
Yeah, Chris, it would be mass confusion.
Of course.
They'll mess everything up.
And
it'll be just millions of dollars again down the drain.
Of course. Absolutely. But that evidently is the whole point.
On Patriot Home Funding Friday, Pierce Outlaw and I discuss the efforts to undermine the very foundational principles of our constitutional republic.
On the big, new, bolder, stronger, and more important to listen to than ever before, AM 950 and FM 94.9, The Answer, Salem Media Group's News Talk Station of the Year. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you got the American Adversaries. It is a Patriot Home Funding Friday. We got a lot we're going to get to right here tonight. And you got some live Apopka Blue Darter football after the show. So we got all this, and I hope you'll be there for every bit of it. And yes, indeed, as I said, we're coming to you on AM 950 and FM 94.9, The Answer. Of course, you can also listen at theanswerorlando.com website, where we invite you, encourage you, actually, to join the Answer Seekers Club. A lot of fun things going on. You get a comic every afternoon. You get the videos. You get the tip sheet and a lot of other stuff. And you can enter to win great contests like that $250 gift card. They give one away a month to images in the Supreme Cardita and Superstores. You can also listen on our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. And if you like what you see, and I do, you can have JJC Marketing Solutions take care of your website, too, AmericanAdversaries.com. You can also listen on your Alexa devices. And please, if you haven't already, I encourage you also to download the free Answer Orlando app in your smart devices. And just in case if ever we happen to be off the air for some reason, you can listen to us there. And yes, indeed, we are up and rumbling tonight on the Titan Cave Cam. So you can peer into the cave and you will see that indeed it is Patriot Home Funding Friday. And Pierce Outlaw was just giving you the thumbs up.
Hello, all you irredeemable deplorables, dregs of society, bitter clingers, and listless vessels. Last Friday, we talked about how lawfare has been weaponized by the left against conservatives and especially Trump. But lawfare isn't just the cases brought and tried. It is also the cases that are denied or unfairly adjudicated. Yesterday, former Trump advisor Peter Navarro was convicted by a D.C. court of contempt of Congress for refusing to cooperate with the partisan January 6th committee, the same committee that illegally destroyed evidence and records. Contempt of Congress. Tell me what is worse, Navarro thumbing his nose at the sham J6 committee or Eric Holder refusing to turn over evidence relating to Operation Fast and Furious, where the federal government sold weapons through straw buyers to Mexican cartels, one of which was used to murder U.S. Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, whose blood was literally on Holder's hands. But what Navarro did is somehow worse, right? Or how about Hillary Clinton, whose IT provider refused to turn over evidence of classified documents on her private email server, wiped over evidence with bleach bit, and destroyed electronic devices. But again, what Peter Navarro did is worse, right? How about former Trump attorney John Eastman, who is facing disbarment in California? In that trial, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, who the state legislature appointed to investigate the 2020 election, testified under oath that the election supervisors ignored state law and allowed Democrat operatives to collect ballots from nursing homes when the law stated that the collectors had to be bipartisan. Also, that Mark Zuckerberg's Center for Tech Life and Civic Life gave $8.8 million to Wisconsin's five biggest cities in the form of employment contracts for his employees to work in election offices in those cities to collect voter information that is not available to the public, to see which Democrat voters and only Democrat voters that had not returned mail-in ballots, and to collect those ballots, in most cases, illegally. Then we go to Georgia, where Trump and 18 others face RICO charges. The Georgia Supreme Court finally allowed standing to the Trump campaign and voters to present cases and evidence of election fraud in Fulton County in 2020. Where were the Secretary of State Raffensperger and Attorney General Carr for the last 2.5 years? How about at the Supreme Court level, when they denied standing in the Texas suit in 2021 that was joined by 17 states' attorney generals and over 120 congressional representatives? In an election case, if the actual voters, the states certifying the elections, and the candidates themselves do not have standing, then who in the world does? Can anybody rationally answer that? In what world is it worse to walk around and wave a flag in the Capitol building chanting USA, USA on January 6th than it is to throw Molotov cocktails at police officers, burn cop cars, destroy tens of millions of dollars worth of private property, take over federal courthouse buildings, and block public thoroughfares nationwide in coordinated protest? So one is an insurrection, the other one is a peaceful protest. See how the game's played? The judicial system was created as a separate but equal branch of government to act as an impartial referee based on the rule of law between the other two branches, to serve as a check and balance against tyranny, and to protect the individual's rights and rights of the minority, regardless of political ideology, consensus of thought, or what is popular in culture at a given moment. But what happens when the referee starts picking sides and no longer follows the rules impartially? Then the game and the results of the game become illegitimate. Chaos ensues. As Iron Lady Margaret Thatcher once said, quote, "Our sovereignty does not come from Brussels. It comes by right and heritage. Likewise, our republic does not come from Washington. It comes from our God-given rights and heritage as free men." Or to put it as a simple country boy from South Georgia like me can understand, our republic is based on four boxes: the soap box, the ballot box, the jury box, and the ammo box. I am on my soap box discussing what is going on in the jury box so we can fix it at the ballot box, because God help us if it comes to the ammo box.
Very good, Pierce Outlaw. Wow. I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. Noster Dennis will be joining us shortly. And, of course, Roger and Joe will join us as the Darters are getting ready to play the Panthers tonight, Dr. Phillips. And then the Killer Bee is going to join us live from the Hive. And 407-774-8255 is the number. Also, Dr. John Littell is going to join us at the bottom of this hour to talk about the new strains and the new shots and all that good stuff. Actually, all that bad stuff. Boy, you really got it all in there, didn't you? I mean, that was excellent. You know, it was Eric Holder was the first attorney general to be held in contempt of Congress, only to be followed up by his successor, Loretta Lynch. And, of course, those people were never pursued by the Justice Department to try to put them in jail because back in those days, the Justice Department figured, well, first of all, they're one of our own. And second of all, Congress is mainly a political body anyway. But as far as what's going on now with Peter Navarro, President Trump, now these other 18. And by the way, we got some news out of not the grand jury that indicted President Trump. But before then, they had a special investigative grand jury. And wait till we tell you what they wanted to do, if you think what they're doing now is outrageous. But what is clear is that what is going on here is that long-held American political traditions are under the gun in an effort to radically change how we choose the people who represent us. And as a matter of fact, it is no longer about them representing us. It's about us, you know, kowtowing to them. That's what this is all about. They want to take away that we the people part. Because we, the people, are too unpredictable, we're too, boneheaded, too stubborn, many of us, you know, and too American is what we are. You know, we're just too doggone American. And they can't have that anymore. So they have to whittle away all the American traditions. And there is no more of an American tradition than our political system. Because it is so unique in human history. On this planet, anyway. And it has been under attack from the very beginning, but now far much more so. And the attacks are far much more so from within. And we say that's what we see playing out here in all this Justice Department stuff. They literally want us to be a banana republic so that then they can transform the whole world into their version of whatever their utopia happens to be. And oh, by the way, they seem to have settled on the number of 500 million people is the maximum that there should be allowed on the planet. 500 million. Now, right now, we're approaching about 8 billion, I think it is, right? So that's, let's see, 500 million, 8 billion. That's 1/16 of the population we have now. The latest person to tout this is none other than the monkey woman, Jane Goodall. Did you see that?
Yeah, and I've also seen Bill Gates' commentary and what he's trying to do, particularly in India.
Right. And they figure 500 million because, and by the way, of that 500 million, the lackeys, in other words, the, say, 490 million of them who are going to be taking care of the other 10 million, they want them to be primarily Japanese and Chinese because they're the ones who, let's just say, well, take orders well, right? Because the cultures are still very strong and monogamous in those countries. Monogamous is the right word?
It's more of a caste system.
Right. It's right. And they, like I say, they take orders well. They make good cameras and cars, and they... good food. But the whole purpose of the 490 or so million is going to be the service, the 10 million or so very rich elite. It's just so totally insane and absurd, which is why it's going to fail, by the way. Because at the end of the day, we the people are going to exert our power in one way or another, as he said, in these four boxes. I never heard that before. But that is great. So what would have been a political thing, they've made a criminal thing with all of these defendants and with Peter Navarro. By the way, Steve Bannon, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And part of their defense was that that their committee was illegally formed. It did not comport to either the Constitution and or the rules of the House of Representatives, and because of the way it was constructed by Nancy Pelosi. And it was not bipartisan. The minority leader was not allowed to put his people on there, which is supposed to be.
And then he just dropped out.
And so it was, but the courts, you know, that part's, yeah, well, that's political. But this other stuff, we're going to step in here. Yeah, it's an attack on the electoral voting system. It's an attack on representative republic and our Constitution. It's clearly what's going on here. And these individuals are the faces of it, the faces of the attack. But this is, it is meant to transform everything. And if they get away with it, there will be no turning back. So once again, right now, it all comes down to next year's election and the voting box. And we got to get it right. Because there won't be another chance. Because after that, it'll be, maybe we can slow the slide down a little bit if there will be elections after that. And that'd be a big if. But if there are elections, because we'll be back to where the uniparty runs everything, and we'll be, you know, it'll be the lesser of two evils. But it won't be where we will really have a say in anything. And clearly, that's where they've been angling for a long time. You remember back in 2015, 2016. Oh, you know, all the Federalists and Hugh Hewitt and others, we can't allow Trump to be the nominee. We're going to do this, and we're going to have a challenge at the convention. It's going to be a contested convention, and then we're going to take it away from him. In other words, take it away from the voters. I mean, they just sat right out in the, you know, open about it, both sides.
And wasn't there recently an editorial in the New York Times saying that we need to do away with elections because the voting public's too stupid?
Yeah. And look at what's going on with, I dare say, Joe Biden. Right? The common thinking is the Democrats don't want him around and they're going to take him down. Now, there are polls out there where people say he's too old and all this other stuff. But then you ask, would you still vote for him? And the Democrats say, well, hell yeah. So in other words, the Democrat people, in spite of their concerns, right now, they want Joe Biden. No matter what we think, that's what they want. And just like we don't care what they think when it comes to choosing our nominee. And that's the way it should be. But you see, the powers that be, and right now we're watching it on both sides of the aisle, the powers that be in the Republican Party certainly do not want Donald Trump. And we've heard all the reasons.
And they never did.
No. And now you've seen the same thing on the Democrat side. They don't want Joe Biden. Well, that's too bad. If the people want Biden and if the people want Trump, then by God Almighty, we know we're up for a rematch. That's the way it should be. And the powers that should be kicked hard in the tail and say, hit the road, Jack. Don't come around here no more. Right? But we got a ways to go to get there, but that's the direction we should be heading in. And next year's election is the first step along the way. All right, when we come back, we got a lot of other stuff we're going to get to tonight. Do you have a Tesla? Keep smiling. Keep smiling. I'll tell you why. And then Dr. John Littell and a lot more right here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So please stay with us. The American Adversaries Radio Show coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studio. I'm wearing my Making America Great Again cap from Relax and Comfort. And it's an exclusive cap. But they got a lot of great deals over there. And it is a Patriot Home Funding Friday. Don't forget, for all of your mortgage needs, get a hold of Pierce or John
at 407-389-5132 or myphf.com.
We'll be back.
AM 950 and FM 94.9, The Answer.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
Network sound and video. Many folks are worried that their old videotapes are worn or broken, but aren't they worth restoring? If you could watch your children play when they were little, be there for a birthday party, sporting event, or bring back the memories of a family member, wouldn't that be priceless? Network sound and video will fix and restore your old videos so you can enjoy them again for years to come. What could be more precious than your family videos? Call 407-834-8555. 407-834-8555.
This is Pastor Paul Blair. Pastors and church leaders, let's roll up our sleeves and make a difference. Join me at the Pastors and Church Leaders Appreciation Brunch, Thursday, October the 19th at Cross Life Church in Oviedo. And it's free.
Pre-register right now at TheAnswerOrlando.com. TheAnswerOrlando.com.
Tuesday, here Tuesday.
Looking for your lost cat?
No, I'm looking for Tuesday.
What?
Tijuana Flats has two tacos, chips, and a drink for just $6.99 every Tuesday.
Tijuana Tuesdays?
Yes, have you seen it?
Tijuana Tuesdays, every Tuesday at Tijuana Flats.
Have you heard the great news, folks? The Supreme Car Detailing Superstores have added a third location to better serve you. The new location is at Candace Drive in 1792 in Maitland. As with their other locations at 510 North State Road 434 and at South Orange Avenue and Sand Lake Road, this new detailing superstore is stocked with all the cleaning products and tools you need for any cleaning task for your cars, trucks, RVs, boats, homes, and businesses. At this new location, you can also test your driving skills on a state-of-the-art simulator. You won't believe how real the experience is. To clean better with less effort, go to the Supreme Car Detailing Superstores. They're open from 10 to 6, 7 days a week. Or you can order online at dasuperstore.com. That's dasuperstore.com.
Call me and I'll do the rest. I'm Abby Greenberg with the Golden Group at Compass, the number one brokerage in the country. It's a seller's market and there's no better time to list your house. I'll get it sold and get you the greatest return on your real estate investment. Need to make renovations first? Through Compass Concierge, we'll cover the renovation costs up front and sell your house for top dollar. I'm Abby Greenberg, and you can sell your home with ease with the Golden Group. 407-484-2689.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Looking at the roadways, the earlier crash up around Lake Mary now cleared westbound I-4, but we do still have some delays westbound I-4 around Lake Mary. Also going slow on I-4 westbound from the turnpike out towards US 27. Eastbound I-4 slow from US 27 to the beach line and around Lake Mary. Oak Ridge crash reported near OBT with blockage. Your latest answer traffic. I'm Dave DiRico.
All right, welcome back to the show. Jeff rocking us out in there at a hot time in the city. All right, appreciate you being out there. By the way, that thank you, Bill and Edie. That's a homogeneous population. In other words, where it's not a melting pot, where it's basically just one race.
I'm sure they'd want them to be monogamous, too.
But right. And by the way, they're still sticklers about that over there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect if you're a white, you know, white American to go over there and just grab you a Japanese girl and come home with her. There might be some issues along the way. So, but like I say, so for some reason that they are going to be the lucky ones, I guess.
Hmm.
All right, if that's what you want to call it, I'd say they would be the cursed
lucky ones.
They would be the cursed ones. Yes, indeed. I think we told you about this a while back, and that is that. Tesla in Tesla cars, they have these cameras, right? In the car to see things in the car.
Yeah, it's allegedly for safety. So if you're in an accident, they can view what's going on and see how they can help you, yada, 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 yada.
Yeah. And of course, we were assured that, you know, this was, you know, they insured your privacy, guaranteed your privacy, and all of that sort of thing. Well, those guarantees to be turned out to be about as worthwhile as a burned out battery. Because indeed, Tesla has had to admit that they have seen a steady rise in people, Tesla people, accessing those cameras and downloading those their images. So what y'all doing to those Teslas out there? Somebody's watching. Smile. You're on candid camera.
You're saying the engines are revving in the front seat there.
That's right. Whatever.
I might say it's shocking activity.
By the way, they say that you can have that feature disabled. However, disabling that feature may affect the performance of other features of your Tesla automobile.
What a piece of duct tape, dude.
I guess so.
Come on.
Yes, that's the best idea of all. Stick your thumb over it. All right, anyway, cover up those cameras and those Teslas. Unless you're doing any, not doing it. Well,
my,
you know what I mean.
Busy. I can't use it right now. Oh, we're degenerating.
Hey, Dr. Littell, next when we come back with the American Adversaries Patriot Home Funding Friday version.